Thank you. This is Sunday morning. This is September 20th, 2020. It doesn't seem possible that this year's passed so fast, but really, it hasn't passed fast enough for what it's been. We're going to start a series this morning, and I don't know where it will lead us. The Holy Spirit does know. Don't know how long. But we're going to look into learning to move with the supernatural. Learning to move with the supernatural. And this is part one. It's called Fame Came. Fame Came. Learning to move in the supernatural. Part one is Fame Came. All right, this is going to be a series to stir us up concerning moving in the supernatural. We spent years learning about our authority and how to use our faith, but now we're going to look at the other side of it. I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit directs the power. Undirected power can be dangerous or unproductive. In Strong's, the word power there is dunamis, which means miraculous power. The vines, the word dunamis means that which manifests God's power, miracles or mighty works. Dunamis. Not our power, God's power. All right, now let's go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at our example in this, and that's the life of Jesus. Start chapter 4, verse 1. There, okay. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I hadn't thought about this, but the Holy Spirit just quickened to me. If you notice, this was after his time in the wilderness. Now he's having a test to see if he learned what he needed to learn. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I give it. We see that's true even today. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know, when we talk about the mark of the beast and these elites, what they do, their mark, it is worship. Whether it's a physical thing or not, because of it, their worship is what marks them. So he wanted Jesus to worship him. I'll give you all this power if you'll worship me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And here's the key scripture. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. So fame came. All right, before this time, do you hear Jesus doing anything? I mean, when it came to the time when he turned the water into wine, he asked his mother, what do you want out of me? You know, like, I can't do this. If my father's not doing it in me and it's not my time, I'm powerless. I'll say, well, you know, Jesus could just do anything. Well, no, he couldn't. He came as Son of Man. He had to go in and be tempted of the devil and he come out full of the Spirit and power. Same as we. He was our example. Well, you know, nobody could meet that standard. Well, we better. He is the standard of moving in power and in the Spirit. Am I going to point to other ministers? Everyone pales in comparison. He's the one we follow. We're to follow in his footsteps, the word says. I don't want to just do something. Danny, I've been having this conversation. If the grace of God isn't on it, I don't want my toe in it. I don't care what it is. And if it hurts people's feelings, I don't care. I do care, but I don't care. You know what I'm saying? If God's not in it, I don't want it. If his grace is not there, I can't do it. Neither can you. It's just a dead work. All right. What was this power for? Look at verse 18. Well, let's read for 17 so we know where we are. Let's read 16. Let's read 15. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So this power was for these reasons that he came. This morning in my prayer time, it was kind of odd. I kept having these thoughts about people, they're either going to hook up with the power or they're not. I don't have any use for anybody who won't. I'm sorry. Does it seem hard? Because they're just a waste of time. And that's kind of the attitude that Jesus had. They were either for him or against him. They were either on his train or they weren't. There's no in-between nowadays. I think that's where religion sits, is in-between. It's never in the door. It's just barring the door. If you're not in the door, you're barring the door. And people that have cast me aside as nothing, I just don't have a lot of time for them. I'm sorry. I'm not going to waste my time about it. Those, Jesus even said the same thing. Who are my mother, my brothers, my sisters? Jesus had to make that line there. I think it's kind of, this is not to be unkind because I care about people and I want to help people, sometimes too much. But what he's talking to us about discerning the times we're in, like this day, Jesus told them, this is the time. And you know what happened, they wanted to throw him down the hill. He just passed on through the midst of them, went on about his business to take it to who would hear. And I think that's what the Spirit's been saying to us for a few weeks now. Don't be upset when people don't hear. Present it. If they don't want it, shake the dust off your feet, go somewhere else to someone who will. Don't waste your time trying to convince somebody, trying to get them to understand. Not casting pearls before swine, basically. Because the day we live in is just as crucial as this day. Because we're looking at the embarking of the kingdom of God coming just like he came that time. This is a very important time in history. And so we need to be about the master's business. That's why he told them to do that. If you go somewhere, they don't want to hear what you have to say, shake the dust off your feet and get on to some other place. Don't argue the word of God. This is what the word says. You can argue all day, but this is God's word. This is God's word. This isn't my word. So I'm not going to argue with you about it. If you have a problem, go argue with God about it. It's his word. Lord knows. Lord knows. And he doesn't want us to get upset with the people. Just move on. God will send you to the right people. He does all the time. I pray for divine appointments, Lord. I want to hook up with who you... I mean, Jesus was sent to the woman at the well. He must needs go through Samaria, and he broke Jewish law by even going there. And his disciples, what? And even the woman as well, Jesus don't have nothing to do with Samaritans. What you doing here? He had a divine appointment. Okay, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, a lot of emphasis has been placed in the body of Christ over the years of having believers meeting, and they are scriptural. But what is the real believers meeting? I believe it's going out the doors and being led by the Spirit and these things taking place. That doesn't mean we won't have that. But I think we've lost sight thinking, no, we'll have our own little believers meeting. It's just believers only. Believers only, believers only. And that's good. There's times for a refreshing when you need that. But for the most part, this is the kind of thing moving in the Spirit. People thought, well, I want to get in those miracle meetings. I want to do all this stuff. Take it to the streets. If you want to see miracles, get out of your box and go to the street. That's where the miracles show up. There's many times over the years that the Lord's had me pray for people. And I've gotten feedback later that they got healed or something happened. I never had nothing happen in church. But when I went out the door, and it wasn't me. I was just praying for the person, and God did what he said he would do in his word. When we laid hands on the sick, they would recover. There's a little lady at one of the restaurants we go to that she's asked me to pray and Danny to pray for two or three things for her. And everything we've prayed with her about has come to pass. Is it us? No. It's God. See, God's not asking you. This is the Holy Ghost power that flows through us. It is not us. It's God. This is the kind of believers meeting I'm into. Not what we did for decade after decade. If you can't take it out and give it to someone else, what good is it? It might give you a good thrill, might build you up a little, but I'm telling you what, and I'm not coming against that, and I didn't even plan to say this, but the Holy Spirit planned for me to say this. Don't get boxed in your mind of what we ought to be doing. We're going to follow the Spirit, and it may be unconventional. I can tell you it probably will be. So don't get boxed in your mind what you think God will do or what direction he's going to lead. I mean, it won't be outside the Bible, I'll guarantee you that. But we're not going to get back into the religious box. I don't want a part of that. I had all that I could stand. It's probably why we weren't in there for very long. Okay, this is the message of the kingdom. Mark 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? Let me look here. How are they in heaven? No poor, no brokenhearted. Everybody's delivered and set free. There's nobody that's blind, nobody that's bruised. They're all got liberty. All right, let's keep going. Same chapter here, chapter 4, verse 31. And came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Think about the time in the grocery store when that guy, that spirit manifested through that guy at me. I thought, I wasn't preaching the gospel. I was just on the bread aisle trying to get me a... But when they get into the presence of someone that knows their authority and walks in the Spirit, they react. You should expect that. They react. They did when Jesus come around. All right, Jesus cast that devil out. Bless God, come out of him. All right, let's keep going. And Jesus arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You know, this is a day-to-day, normal routine gospel. Wherever you go, somebody asked you to pray. Somebody asked you to do something for them. There's when the power shows up. It's okay to have it in the church, but, you know, we're supposed to be taking it out. That's what it's for. Now, Jesus did teach in the synagogues, but he also went to the streets. He also went to people's homes, just like Peter's mother-in-law. He saw a need when he walked in the house. And he prayed for him. He rebuked a fever. Okay, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, and suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed with him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. He went into synagogues, he went out on the streets, he went into people's homes. And when he was in people's homes, they all showed up at the person's house and had crowds. Fame came. All right, let's go to chapter 5. We're just going to look mainly at the book of Luke. I like Luke because he was a physician. He's more detailed in his accounts. So I chose it. 5 verse 12. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So Jesus knew, it's not me doing it. I need my infilling. I need my power, my battery, spiritual battery, charged back up because the people, he's getting more fame and more fame. And I'm telling you today, you go out and you start doing these things, you'll start, the fame will come. Okay, let's see. This man was at death's door. A man full of leprosy means he's turned completely white and he won't live long. There's not much hope. Every widow. All right, verse 15. I just read that to you. I've read both of those. Okay. Fame came. He had to refuel. All right, verse 17. It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Here comes a religious bunch. It doesn't just bring good fame, blame fame, or whatever you want to call it. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? They're just jealous. She's like the man or the woman that was bent over. Jesus healed, and they complained about him doing and what he did. Well, they didn't do anything for anybody, anywhere, at any time. Religious jealousy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. So just be aware, when you start making an impact, the jealous religious leaders, you'll know them by their fruit when they show up to criticize your methods. Well, I'm just following the Spirit of God. Well, that's not scriptural. Oh, really? Following the Spirit of God is not scriptural? Just get ready for it. Because when we start doing this, the fame comes. Just like it did with Jesus, so it will with us. All right, verse 17, I did that. That's 17 through 26, okay. Jesus was led by the Spirit, and he received criticism. Negative fame came. All right, now verse 33. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. Now, the Lord's been speaking to this for quite a while now. Even back in 2018, I began to talk to you about a new age coming, a new era coming. And it's going to have to be out with the old and in with the new, because you can't mix the two. A little bit of leaven will leaven the whole lump. And so Jesus warned the disciples, beware the leaven, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they don't have any spiritual insight. They do letter of the law, and they reject anything that doesn't conform to their letter of the law. We've been to church with them our whole life, especially me as a woman minister. You know, with men, it's just letter of the law. You come up the right way, you ain't got nothing to do with us. Somebody that just is led by the Spirit and just walks by the Spirit, they don't like. Why? It shows them up. It shows them how dead they are. It shows that they're just doing doctrines of men, and it has nullified the Word of God. No power in their church. That's why they fly over all creation to go to everybody's meetings trying to figure out, what am I going to do now? Because there ain't no power in my church. Maybe something they're doing will help me. Am I saying the truth today? Jesus said the same thing to him. You're like dead men's bones. You bar the way. You won't go in, and you try to prevent as many as possible. Keep them from going in too. You'll know them by their fruit. When you start going out and you start doing those things, you start getting that negative fame, you'll know them by their fruits, by what they say. Well, discounting what they've seen or what you're doing in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, just shake the dust off your feet and just go on to the next destination. I'll have somebody else lined up. This is where we're headed. This is to be our life. This is our life. Go read again the Tommy Hicks visions. Brother Hagin's vision. It's about people out on the streets, look like liquid love and liquid light and fire. Extending that love and fire to whoever would take it. This is the kingdom of God. This is the way it should be. How come it got to where it was? Institutionalized religion. We quit following the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, and got into works, got into little meetings, got our little bulletin, and got our little songs, and got our little stuff. I'd rather have no music than have music that just, we just drum something up, you know, or teaching either. Just dead. God's looking for those that will let Him get the glory. They'll let His Spirit flow through them to help people. This is what this is all about. We're on a rescue mission. Okay. All right. More negative fame came. They could not receive the kingdom way. Jesus was unorthodox to them. See, they were orthodox Jews. This is what orthodox means. Conforming to established doctrine, especially religion. Conventional. Jesus was unconventional. Jesus was led by the Spirit. It caused fame to come, good and bad. All right, let's continue on chapter 6. I went back yesterday and I was listening to some things from 2018, and it amazed me how different my mindset had changed just from the teachings that I was listening to present day. Totally different. Thinking, I'll go burn all of those now. But see, it just shows how God is renewing our minds and bringing more illumination and more rhema to us to understand these days that we're in. Because we are prophesying in part, you know what I'm saying? We're seeing things. I know the scripture talks about looking through a glass darkly. We are really just seeing and glimpsing things partially. And it'll be amazing. Probably look back in another year and think, whoa, look where we've come from. This isn't a camping out place. It's never been about camping out. It's been about moving on and taking the land. Okay, 6. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? And he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You know, there's a lot of stuff. You see a lot of people, even Christians nowadays, talking about, since we're in the Feast of Trumpets, they're in, Israel's having the Feast of Trumpets right now, and how, you know, they have their Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. You think, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. They don't realize that this law was not God's pickings. They wanted a law. They wanted a law. They didn't want to follow the Spirit. They didn't walk by faith. They didn't want to receive His grace. So He gave them something they couldn't possibly keep. So I just warn you, just discount what they say. It's not about what day. It should be every day. Every day is the Lord's day. In fact, they say Saturday is actually from Saturn, named from Saturn, which is a cult. You know, whatever, it's not about a day. Jesus said, I am the Sabbath. I am. So anyway, all this religious junk is what gets us off. We get out from flowing in the power of God into all these rules. Oh, you're not doing it right. They missed the day of their visitation, the Son of God Himself. Because they couldn't get past their traditions and saw the glory of God. Even Jesus couldn't do it right. Get ready, you won't either. And certain Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? And he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priest alone. And he said that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's kind of like when he forgave the sins of that man. It says we have the authority and power to remit sin. Whomever you remit, they're remitted. And whatever you retain, it's retained. They couldn't get past the letter of the law, and they missed out. I don't want to miss out of anything. Jesus was unconventional. They didn't understand him. So what did? They attacked him. All right, verse 11, 6 through 11. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. And he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looked around about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. He healed a man with a withered hand. The Orthodox didn't care about the man and his withered hand. All they cared about was political correctness. Some things never change. They don't care about the people. They just care about their law being kept. And it came to pass in those days, verse 12, that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He refilled and continued to flow with the Spirit day after day. The worst thing in the world for a Christian to do is just something. If you don't have anything, then don't do anything. I think this is why our churches, for the most part, are powerless. The things that are done are just a program. It is not Spirit-inspired. It's supposed to be spontaneous as the Spirit wills. All right, let's keep going. Verse 17, And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sodom, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. So Jesus was available to all. It didn't matter their backgrounds or if they were in sin or whatever. He healed them all. He could teach them later about the other. First, you got to catch them before the Lord can clean them. You understand what I'm saying? You can't clean them. If you try to clean them before you catch them, you got a mess. They'll run off, they'll escape, and they'll never come back. Now listen to that. There's a lot of wisdom in that. If you try to clean them, if you try to clean them first, you're going to make a mess. You're going to lose them. You're going to scare them off. You catch them. Then the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, and the word will begin to renew their mind, and they'll begin to be cleaned. You understand? Where did I leave off? Verse 19? Okay, Jesus, okay, no. All right, go to chapter 7. And when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. So he healed a Roman centurion servant. He stepped over. I mean, you talk about breaking the law. He went outside of the religious box to follow the Spirit, obey the Spirit. All right, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Much people of the city were with her, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bearer, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. So fame came. Jesus had compassion. Thought about a widow. She didn't have anybody else. Raised her son. Fame came. Okay, verse 16 and 17 here. I read that already. Jesus did not let that fame go to his head. He knew that it wasn't him doing the miraculous works. Now, I want to turn with that. We're going to go over to the book of John for a minute, chapter 14. Verse 1. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." And Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So the same thing Jesus did, we're to do. We'll get the same results he got. Are we doing it? No, it's the Father in us doing the works. I mean, it ought to be pretty easy. You just lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All right, back to Luke. Verse 21. "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight." The kingdom of God is here. You know, institutionalized religion has been so predominant in our culture. And not just in Christianity, all the other religions are the same way. It's all about meeting in a physical thing. But I tell you today, it is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. Your spiritual act of worship is renewing your mind. Finding out God's will, then doing that will. All this going to church and all this crap that's all, excuse my language there, all of that stuff that we've placed such emphasis on, most of it's powerless. Because if we had been doing what the Spirit said do, we would not be in the place we're at. Luke 8. Verse 1, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. A certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside." And I don't want to read this. Just a minute. I don't think I do. I'm not sure where I put it there. Let me look at the end of it. Okay, let's look here about 22 of Luke 8. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they were being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You know, most of the people that we pray for, or I pray for, they're just like this. They're in panic mode. They're losing it. And you get up and say, well, peace be still. We bind you, devil. And it's okay. And then the next time, next thing comes around, they're texting you, oh, oh. The winds, the water. Isn't that the way it is? And then the disciples said, Whoa, what kind of man is this? He's not under the circumstances. He speaks to them, and they leave. I was thinking today, I said, Lord, it's a little hard to understand the many, 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 many people that we thought would be on board with what you called us to do. And they are nowhere to be found. You would think that they'd see how the Lord's blessed us and think, I want some of that. I was thinking about the little guy from, I won't say the company. He came to do some stuff for us. And he said, I want to know how to get this house like this. We started talking to him about God. One thing led to another. Gave him some information to help him along the way. He's already a Christian. He was wanting to go to some big city thinking that's what he needed to do to attain that kind of thing. And we were telling him, no, follow God. Do what God tells you to do. That's where it comes from. It's still amazing to me. All we get is criticism. To me, that's jealousy. Why do you need a big old house like that? It's your age. What business is it of yours? None. My father gave it to me. That's what it's business is, what it's about. My father gave it to me. But it's that old thinking, that old thinking process. Fending for yourself all the time, barely getting along on your Social Security type attitude. All right, where'd I leave off? All right, I know where I left off. Verse 26 of chapter 8. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. I mean, we're dealing with these kind of people that are doing these riots right now. They've showed the connection between Antifa and satanic rituals. They've come out that they are Satan worshipers. And now we know why they act like the devil. He's their father. They're crazy. Absolutely crazy. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they had fed, they saw, and when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And listen to this. Then the whole multitude of the country, the gatherings round about, besought him to depart from them. We don't want your kind here. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So Jesus told him, "No, you go tell people what I've done for you, what the Father's done for you." In other words, go light a candle. Go take the fire. Go spread it. Isn't that the way we do it? Usually most people, the way that you get into the door is by personal experience, maybe something that they're going through, you've been through too, and how God's done something for you. You can share with them what God will do it for them too. He calmed the wind and the raging water. He set the madman of Gadara free. Okay, let's go to verse 40 here. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee," and Jesus thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, "Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden, and all wept and bewailed her. And he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to her to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. So Jesus raises the little girl from the dead, and healed the woman with the issue of blood. Fame came. Fame came. All right, I'm going to look over to Acts chapter 4 for just a minute, one verse, before we move on. 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What were they doing? Same things Jesus did. Okay, let's go back now. Luke, we're coming to, we're about done here. Luke 9. We've been through a lot of training. There comes a time where that training time is not, I won't say it will ever be over, but I'm saying the Lord's going to begin to push us out. You can't make yourself available if you're holed up in your house all the time. Start pushing yourself out, making yourself available to people. Let Him lead you. I'm not telling you to do a natural work, but don't be so, I don't want to do that. You know, let's get that out of that kind of thinking. Lord, where can I go today? Where would you send me today that I can help someone? I'm just telling you to kind of start thinking differently about it. Because if we're just staying at home all the time, how can we do much? It'll probably be more of a challenge to me than it is to you. Okay, Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into there, abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They followed Jesus' example, and it worked for them just like it worked for Jesus. All right, verse 11. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? And they answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that he is one of the prophets, and he's risen again. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. So he fed the multitude. I remember one time when we were really young, going to Bethel Assembly of God, and we had a friend, and he was single, and so he would pop in a lot. And I remember him coming over after church one Sunday, and I had very little to fix, and I remember thinking, Lord, I don't have enough. But you know what? We sat down, it was pork chops, to eat those pork chops, and everybody ate what they wanted, and we had plenty. You know, that's what it reminds me of. That's what came to my mind. It's like the Lord multiplied it. That's good. So Jesus fed people. He healed people. He spoke to the winds and the waves. Raised people from the dead. Healed the sick. He just followed whatever the Spirit told him to do. He didn't have an agenda, I don't think. He got filled up, he'd pray, and then he'd kind of get a little inkling of where the Lord was going to direct him. And as he started going, the Lord began to show him different people, different situations, and he took care of it. Okay, now chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them 2 and 2 before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. That was back in a custom where it was customary for you, if you saw somebody get to evening time, you invited them to stay in your home. That was their culture. In the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your way out to the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding. Be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day of Sodom than for that city. So he's telling them, don't be concerned about your provision. If they won't listen, just be about your business. I mean, the Lord's really been enforcing that to me. Don't be intimidated if they don't agree with you or they want to speak smack. If you know the truth and you bring the truth, you say, okay, see ya. Just move on. You do not have to defend the word. He does not expect you to. In verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So many were looking for Messiah, but they were not. But they were beholding. Okay, the spirit within directs the power that is manifested. How long have I gone?
An hour and 3 minutes.
Okay. I want to read this because it's a lengthy chapter, but I want to read it. This is John chapter 11. You see how Jesus... How you see his behavior. That's what I want you to see. We don't have much after that. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Jesus, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He didn't emotionally run to Lazarus. He waited on the Spirit. And after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the light, night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, My friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. I think, kick that one out of the bunch, I'm telling you. Even Jesus had to rebuke him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Those religious sayings. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but it was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, she fell down at his feet and saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See, when you follow the Spirit, you got to put up with all of them relatives. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the Spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. For some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? He's getting all kinds of flack because he didn't come when they thought he should come. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, sister of him that was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 years. He might get the Lysol out. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. I'm telling you, if he had given in to his friends and relatives, the power of God couldn't have shown up. He followed the Spirit. Then the power could come forth, miraculous power. So much of the time, the reason the power is not there is because people are just doing what they think is best, what is expected of them. Learning to flow in the Spirit is key for the power to be manifested for the glory of God. Power does not manifest for whatever you want done. Now get that in the thinking process. It is by the urging of the Holy Spirit this power is loosed, manifested. It isn't according to your will, but the Father's will. How can we fine-tune our lives to this? Okay, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, by not conforming to the world, but renewing your mind with the Word of God, You'll know God's will, and then grace is released. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So grace comes with God's will in your life to accomplish what the Spirit wants accomplished. See, grace comes whenever you have renewed your mind and you know God's will, then grace is imparted to you to do that will. Okay? Then here's the different, this is Romans 12, 4 through 8. For as we have many members in the body and all members have not the same office, so we many, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Isn't that what Jesus did? That was his ministry. He went about doing good, and he and all that were oppressed of the devil. He was graced by God, and he moved with the Spirit. And when he did, the power of God was manifest to raise the dead, heal the sick, open the blind eyes, speak to the winds and the waves, whatever was necessary. And it'll be there for you too.